Now, it's not often we lead our programme with a speech to a party conference in which we focus on what was not said. But let's hear a line from Ed Miliband today, Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero. He has a decision to make, the government has a decision to make, about whether to greenlight further exploitation of North Sea oil and gas resources. We know decisions are coming. This is what Ed Miliband said today to the party faithful.
And in Scotland, oil and gas workers who have powered our country and our world will continue to be a valued part of the energy workforce. And at the same time, we will create new jobs in hydrogen, offshore wind and carbon capture and storage.
Now, if you listen to that carefully, it's neither a green light to more North Sea oil, nor is it a red light. We're still on amber, just waiting to see which way the light goes. Now, one headache for Labour is what their manifesto says about it. It was tortuously drafted. I would say it implied we carry on drilling the existing fields, but not any new ones. But here's the section read by one of my colleagues.
Labour will not revoke existing licences, and we will partner with business and workers to manage our existing fields for the entirety of their lifespan. Crucially, oil and gas production in the North Sea will be with us for decades to come, and the North Sea will be managed in a way that does not jeopardise jobs, and our offshore workers will lead the world in the industries of the future. We will not issue new licences to explore new fields because they will not take a penny off bills, cannot make us energy secure, and will only accelerate the worsening climate crisis.
All right, there you have it. We will not issue new licences to explore new fields, but North Sea oil will be with us for decades to come. Our business editor, Simon Jack, is with me. Simon, let us go through decisions. We know some decisions are coming because Rachel Reeves said there's going to be a North Sea paper between now and the budget.
Yeah, she said ahead of the budget, talking to business leaders on Monday night, she said ahead of the budget, we'll be publishing our North Sea strategy, which I hope, she says, will give some certainty to the sector, oil and gas, to be able to invest in the UK. And again, she repeats, we're going to be reliant on oil and gas for many years to come. I would prefer to be using oil and gas from the UK rather than importing from overseas. So there's a clear journey going on here. Now, what officials will say is that this is not a rowback. Some people are interpreting that. They reject that. They say if you look at it very, very carefully, that bit we heard read out saying that we will manage our North Sea resources in a way that does not jeopardise jobs, which leaves a bit of wiggle room.
Right.
And that's important because there are a couple of big fields. And what if you go back to that manifesto commitment, new license to explore new fields, the meaning of new fields becomes absolutely
right.
Key.
This is the bit where the wiggle room lies.
Yes.
Because there may be a field which could be considered new, but could be considered as next door to an existing field, almost adjacent or touching.
Yes. And in fact, last week, it emerged that Mr. Miliband was considering weakening his ban by allowing energy companies to drill new oil and gas fields very close to existing ones, and this idea of tying them back to existing fields. So kind of slightly fudging the idea of what a new field might look like. And that's important because there's a couple of very big ones coming up. There's one called Rosebank off the west coast of Shetland, another one called Jackdaw, which have basically been in the pipeline, excuse the pun, for quite a long time, were kind of stopped in their tracks by a high court ruling saying they didn't appropriately in their application measure the right amount of emissions. What happens when you actually burn the stuff? So they're going away refiling that paperwork, and that's coming. Now, we don't expect a final decision on Rosebank and Jackdaw by the budget, but this paper we're expecting, this strategy, will definitely give us a direction of travel. And most people think that they are sort of weakening their opposition to some of those fields.
Right, and so the North Sea oil and gas industry, I'm interested in what their thinking is coming. They're thinking there will be, if you like, a kind of looser interpretation of those words in the manifesto.
I think that's exactly right. And when I talk to people in the industry, they are hopeful, I would say even confident, that there will be some way of making sure that these things do go ahead because they produce a lot of jobs. And also, don't forget about the tax revenue. They attract an awful lot of tax revenue.
Thank you for that, Simon. It's clearly a really important decision for the government to be taking. Now, as it happens, about a year ago, the PM programme visited Aberdeen. We broadcast from there one day last November, and we heard from oil workers who were bemused, I think you'd say, at the government's policy, which they understood to be one of winding up North Sea production, albeit slowly, while nevertheless importing oil from abroad, where they said environmental standards are poorer.
You go to a foreign rig and it's surrounded by oil slicks. In the distance, you can see the wildlife and you're thinking, that's not going to last long if they carry on like this. On the North Sea, they're trying to be greener because they've been told, you've got to be good.
There's a thing that we do, we skip and we ship it back to the land. We do not, you know, throw things overboard. But globally, I've worked in different places, Gulf of Mexico and South China Sea. Things are still thrown overboard. So considering the fact that North Sea has some of the best safety standards, protocols and stuff that we use here is actually, I would say, 100x greener than anywhere else globally, which is still drilling and looking for oil.
And I remember talking to those two in Aberdeen last year, and neither were climate change denialists or anything like that. They knew the world had to get out of, fossil fuels, but they just felt it was inappropriate to be importing those fuels while we're using them rather than using our own. Well, it's clearly a massive debate. Listening to that is Caroline Lucas, who you will know was for many years leader of the Greens and indeed the first Green MP in Westminster. Caroline, nice to talk to you again. It seems that there is a bit of a journey being made by the government on this at the moment. What do you make of that?
Well, it feels like there is a monumental battle going on between Ed Miliband and Rachel Reeves, is how I would read it. I'm quite sure Ed Miliband would not want to see more new oil and gas licences being given in the North Sea. But I'm equally sure that Rachel Reeves does want to see that. But I think it's important to challenge the way she's framing it, because you'll remember she said she wanted to exploit UK resources on our own North Sea rather than importing it. And I don't know how many times we have to say this, but when it comes to oil, it is sold on global markets at international prices. So just because it's extracted from domestic waters doesn't mean that it belongs to us, that it automatically goes to us. These are global companies who will sell to the highest bidder. So I think it's really important to challenge this myth that somehow that because the oil is coming from the North Sea, then that somehow means that it is ours and automatically ours to have. It isn't. It's sold on international prices. Yeah. So it will not bring down our energy bills. It will not deliver energy security. The only way of doing that would be to invest properly in renewable energies and energy efficiency, well, and batteries and so on.
But look, it is, you're absolutely right. It's not going to make what we take out of the North Sea is not going to bring down global oil prices. I don't think anyone could make that case. But what it will do is give jobs and income to people in the North Sea rather than people in Texas, where they're fracking it out of the ground and where we might otherwise be importing it. And I guess what you have to explain is, given that this is an inconsequential amount in global terms, why we wouldn't be drilling it if the Americans are going drill, baby, drill, and we're taking it from them to keep going on oil for the time being.
Well, we should be moving away from taking it from them, obviously, as quickly as possible. But there is also something known as climate leadership. And this is a decision that might be being made just weeks before the next big climate talks in Brazil, where we need to reduce our emissions across the world. And the UK needs to be a climate leader. It has been a climate leader. And that reputation will certainly be trashed if it gives the green light to yet more oil and gas extraction. I think that the signal that gives out would be hugely damaging. And when it comes to our own economy and when it comes to our own jobs, come to that, the North Sea is a declining basin. If we want sustainable jobs into the future, which I think we do, then there are far more jobs and better long-term jobs in the greener economy. So what the government needs to do is to give reassurance to those oil and gas workers that they will maintain their salaries, that they will be given proper training, and that they will be able to shift to extracting wind and wave and other technologies that are greener and more sustainable and ultimately cheaper than going on with locking ourselves into the fossil fuel economy, which is exactly what is driving up our prices and energy costs at the moment.
And I mean, I think the jobs thing is not irrelevant here, and you're recognising it is a big issue. And I think the argument is made that the new energy jobs do not pay. They're not the same, quite the same jobs, and they're not quite as lucrative as the oil industry as the oil industry is. But it is interesting the way you framed it. In a way, it's those jobs, isn't it, keeping them going for another 20 years, say, versus Britain's international reputation. And I wonder whether, given the way the world has gone this year, Caroline, that so many people in the US seem to be giving up on it, whether Britain trying to maintain that kind of beacon of greenness in the world, whether that is worth giving up people's lucrative jobs for.
Well, I think that's a false trade-off. I think that we should be able to pay more for renewable energies and secure those jobs for those existing workers who are in oil and gas. And I think that ultimately it is better off for the whole country not to be locked into more oil and gas. So I think that there's a false dichotomy that you're suggesting there. There are far more jobs, and as I say, longer term jobs in the green economy. And what we need to do is to be able to properly support those so that the people who are currently in the oil and gas industry can feel confident in their own futures going forward. And there's a huge amount of work going on in that area. It's been called the just transition, if you like. And it's absolutely looking at how we can maintain good wages and a good future for those very experienced workers in that sector, but to move across to renewables, which is where the future lies. So this isn't just about climate leadership, although I would argue that that is hugely important, particularly from a country that was one of the first into the Industrial Revolution and therefore has a greater responsibility for showing the way out of it. But it is also about our own self-interest. And when it comes to, for example, giving the green light to Rosebank, which is one of the options that's on the table, 90% of Rosebank's reserves are oil, not gas. The majority of that will be exported. We also know that the taxpayer is going to be on the hook for quite a lot of that as well, because there's a loophole in the way that that's being set up, so that we are actually going to be paying Equinor for them to extract that oil and gas.
It gets complicated, and I don't want to go too much detail about the working of the tax system. But what, just big picture, Caroline, last question, what is going on here that this is such an interesting debate that seems to be going on, as you say, within this Labour government, when their position... At one point, I think, you know, Ed Miliband had called Rosebank climate vandalism at one point, when the clarity of one position seems to have become much less clear now.
Well, I think it's very interesting to set this conversation alongside the conversations that have been had in the Labour Party conference over the last 24 hours, where you've had Keir Starmer squaring up to Reform and Nigel Farage when it comes to immigration. Well, it's about time they did it when it comes to Reform UK's position on the weaponization of climate policy, of their misinformation, their lies. I think we need to see a Labour Party that is willing to stand up on this issue as well, and to say that people's best interests, the best interests of bill payers, as well as workers in the industry, is not to lock themselves into an industry that is already declining, but rather to shift to a greener economy, which is what I think Ed Miliband would like to see. What I fear is that that is going to be undermined by Rachel Reeves, who appears to think that anything with the word growth on it is automatically good, no matter whether what is growing is pollution and higher prices, or whether it's something better than that.
Karen Lucas, thanks for that. I think Reform would characterise their energy policy, their net zero policy, very differently, obviously, and we must at some point talk it through with them in some detail.